Rated T for teen.
Each year, thousands of adults lose their shred. It's an epidemic simply known as shred loss. But it doesn't have to be this way. Because rekindling your shred is as easy as playing the new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4. With new parks, cross-platform multiplayer, and sick new game modes, we can put an end to shred loss everywhere. Get the new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 and show the world that the shred's not dead. Get Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 available now.
Oh, that's my Prime delivery.
What, already?
Only one thing can match the buzz of Prime's fast delivery. And that's the buzz of Prime's entertainment.
What are we watching?
Heads of State, that new action comedy with Idris Elba as the Prime Minister, John Cena as the President, and Priyanka Chopra Jonas as their only hope. Looks like a blast.
From fast delivery to explosive entertainment, it's on Prime. For only $8.99 a month, join now. Content includes limited ads, subscription auto-renews. For more information, go to amazon.co.uk/prime.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Hey, hello. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the niche. Thank you for tuning in live for a very, very special event. The first ever live streamed GCN Gauntlet. What is a gauntlet, you ask? It is a chance for players to take control of classic, iconic Glass Cannon Network characters and take them up against an encounter of such extreme difficulty that survival is very unlikely. I will be your GM tonight. My name is Joe O'Brien, and I'm here today with some of the most spectacular, iconic players of the Glass Cannon Network, who will all be taking control of their own choices among the entire pantheon of Glass Cannon characters. Guys, friends, welcome in. First, let me say hello to my good buddy Jared Logan is here. Jared, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's up? So we're going to be doing these gauntlets at Gen Con, right?
That is correct. So this is kind of like practice.
To simulate the actual Gen Con player, I haven't slept in 48 hours, and I am very hungover.
Yes, you nailed it. I did the same thing. In order to get ready for this, to properly method this out, I went to my cousin's Pocono lake house yesterday and drank 10,000 beers on a pontoon boat. And it's put me in a real Gen Con zone right now. I'm feeling it. Sydney Emanuel is here as well. Sid, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, pimps and players? I also, to emulate Gen Con, Jared hit the nail right on the head. I just scarfed down what I can only describe as a hockey puck of a burger over a garbage can, like Joe and I did last year at Gen Con.
We hand-ripped a burger in half, handed it to Sydney, and then we ate it so the crumbs would fall directly into a trash can. As they flew from our mouth. Matthew is here tonight as well. Matthew Cabotacaza, who the niche has just not seen enough of lately. It's sad, but so glad to have you here on a Sunday evening when you are available. And I'm excited to play some Pathfinder again with you, man.
Me too. I'm excited to play with you all. To simulate my Gen Con experience, I currently have three different infectious diseases coursing through my veins that have yet to manifest.
Full blown COVID.
It'll be here soon enough. We're also joined by the wonderful, the beautiful, the talented Kate Stamos.
That's me.
Always the one, I mean, on the live streams, always the one with the best camera. She shows up like a professional. Best camera, best lighting, looking amazing. Kate, do you think you're going to survive tonight?
Yeah, wait to see who I'm playing. And
to further this Gen Con thing that we're doing.
Canada does have a big advantage.
A big advantage.
Yeah, we'll go
one,
yeah.
One big advantage.
To do this Gen Con thing, I'm currently drinking just out of my little gauntlet. I've got
there
my
you
wine.
Go.
And I got hungry and forgot to eat all day and was like, oh God, what do I have? And so I just finished out my container of Cajun cheese curds. So I should
you
be feeling
they
great.
Were Cajun.
Yeah, you said they were Chipotle cheese curds.
You know what? I started with a C and it was spicy and I forgot.
No one does cheese curds like the people down on the bayou.
Doctor, that's what I like.
Are people known for their curds?
At least you guys can't smell my breath like you would if we were all in person.
And lastly, and lucky to have my good buddy Skid here tonight. He was the last one to respond to the email. I was like, oh no, are we going to have to go live without Skid? And he came in at the end. He said, sorry, yeah, I'm here. I'm in. I was like, yes.
Yes.
So we've got
I'm also
Skid
I'm replicating
in the
my
house.
Gen Con experience because I was out drinking
today
with my cousin Andrew in Brooklyn.
Oh.
And I'm super anxious. So
perfect. We really are doing a great job of replicating the Gen Con experience. As Jared said, we wanted to show you all who didn't have a chance to experience it last year, a little bit of what a gauntlet looks like. This is what we run at Gen Con at our booth all day, every day. And everyone on this call is running gauntlets. Everybody is going to be running these sort of 1 hour experiences, which is what the intention is tonight. I think we'll go a little long tonight, but like about an hour in which you will take classic GCN characters and go up against an extreme difficulty encounter. Some may say imbalanced and completely unwinnable. But last year, we took these things out for a spin, and I was surprised by the survivability and the winability. I mean, a lot of tables defeated the encounter with maybe one death, maybe one or two deaths, and did not TPK. I would say most tables. There were some TPKs. Tonight, I'm going to try to spice it up a little bit. We have a sample size of one sort of level of encounter, and I thought maybe I'll try to bump it up a tad bit, and we'll see how that plays out tonight. And I'm very excited to get right into it and to and kind of slowly reveal who everybody's playing. This is going to be super fun, and in order to do that, I am going to introduce sort of a little bit of a story element. And walk through a very quick like prologue where I sort of control your characters for a moment and just to get into the encounter. And then we're just doing an encounter. That's the show tonight. And I'm really looking forward to it. Before that, though, I have to say a huge thank you to everybody in the niche who's here, who's hanging out. Tons of you
yes,
guys
thank you.
Showing up, hanging out. Thank you. We're live on Twitch. We're live on YouTube. It's great to see everybody.
Paul is here.
Eric from Norse Foundry, good buddy, is here in the house on Twitch, as is our good buddy Clorp Donk hanging, and Jazzmaster's there on YouTube, and Cephas.
Paula,
and I think Paul is here.
Deming,
right?
Or as
Paul
we call
is in
her,
the house.
As we call her, P-Dog.
P-Dog, yeah.
P-Dog.
P-Dog.
As we've all said for many years, P-Dog in the house, in the his yeah. house.
That's right. That's Paula's Gen Con alter ego.
Yes, yes. That's who
she
becomes.
She morphs into P-Dog as soon as she hits Indiana soil.
Get the subs.
We got the Her, Badur, we got Suburbanite and Feral, and the whole crew's here. So this is going to be great. Thank you guys for showing up on a Sunday night. Why are we streaming on Sunday night? We're streaming on Sunday night because... I'm not going to say why.
What are you going to say if not the real reason?
Well, I was going to say because...
What's the reason you were going to say?
Well, the reason I was going to say is that literally every other night of the week, we are recording content for Gen Con over the next 2 weeks. It's a wild schedule of really fun stuff we're recording. Those of you that can't be at Gen Con, you're going to see so much fun stuff during Gen Con weekend. What Matthew and Skid are laughing about and referring to is the reason that we can't do it tomorrow night, which it was originally scheduled for and got bumped back to Sunday, is because I'm having my 45-year-old colonoscopy on Tuesday. And Monday night is going to be a shit fest.
Hey,
and
Joe,
so
I did it, man. Can I tell you what's – I did it no anesthesia because I wanted mine to be natural.
It is a reverse childbirth in a lot of ways. So
I believe that's known in the industry as raw dogging.
I kept telling the doctors,
"You raw dogging this, sir?
Closer, warmer."
Did you do Lamaze technique, or were you?
I don't even want to know.
Yeah, we can't even hear any of that. You're in StreamYard. Your mic is cutting it off because it's
you're breathing. Well, like,
this sound is too annoying to broadcast.
Yeah.
Good on you, Joe, for taking care of your health.
Hey, man, that goes. Oh, there's a lot of men out there of a certain age, and all of you.
Doesn't everyone have to do it, even if the ladies too, or no? Yeah.
I guess ladies, men are more reluctant to
get
do it.
Get ready, so ladies.
My wife
will do it. They don't usually.
Right. They don't.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
My wife did it. And she also recently had to take the doctor a stool sample. So she had.
Was it requested? Or?
Is your wife in the next room?
She's out of town.
She'll never see this.
Into a cup and then drive the poop across town.
Oh, man.
To give it to somebody. Like, here's my poop.
Yeah. I'm not used to being one-upped like this, Jared.
You don't play with Jared that often. That's what happened.
Sorry. That was a good one. All right. On that note, let's get into this shit. We have, man. I got a lot going on back here. I know the GMs on this network always say that, and they always sort of complain about it. But between GMing the game technically and then broadcasting, forgive my occasional hiccup here and there. But what I want to do is just start it off with a little music, obviously, just sort of like set a little tone, a little ominous John, you know, like we like to do, and set the scene. So, I like to imagine that there's some sort of, you know, like, fiction, how to put this? There's basically like some sort of like commune or village where all these characters live, right? Like, where they kind of all know each other or interact in some way and can occasionally set off on these gauntlets. These challenges, and though they don't know they're coming, suddenly they can be set upon by something quite brutal as
we
part
should come
of their
up with
adventures.
Like a frictional framework for how this happens.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I'm not going to try to draw the lines and color it all in right now. I'm just going to say that there is a village or a town or a keep or whatever where several of these characters live together. And one of these characters, whose Skid is playing tonight, is a little concerned. Something is amiss. Skid, tell the folks who you're playing tonight.
I am playing all 7 foot, 10 inches, 505 pounds of the late orcish barbarian Olog Crowborn.
Yes! Olog Crowborn!
I miss him so much!
So excited to get back into those shoes. Olog Crowborn. Olog, you're concerned because your, let's say, roommate, a young and badass hunter by the name of AWOL, has routinely goes on hunts. Sometimes with others, sometimes alone, as a means to feed you and other friends. And despite his name, he usually returns home pretty regularly. You know, within a day, he's back. However, it's been 2 days since AWOL went on a hunt. And he told you where he was going. He was going to the Lachlan Hills, just hunting deer and such. Nothing too out of the ordinary, but he didn't return, and you gave it some time because, you know, he could stay out there overnight, he'd be fine, but now it's been 2 days, and Olog's a little concerned. So Olog gathers a crew of people to go and help him find his friend AWOL, as part of that process, he goes first to Matthew's character, a known tracker. Matthew, who are you playing tonight?
I'm playing Lork Iron Tusk.
Yes!
Or as I said in my email when I chose this character, noted effective character.
Well, I'll tell you what. My memories of Lork in the Gauntlets were that it was uncanny the amount of times like it came down to Lork like winning or losing an encounter. And I'm not saying it went all one way or all another way, but I definitely remember one woman who it all came down to a bow shot from Lork, and she nat 20'd it, and everybody was like, wow, what is happening? Like, wow. it was really,
he was
fun.
Always so a
it's the
popular
player that's
choice
the problem. It's the player. Yeah,
it's the player.
There's
exactly
one common element, too.
Yeah. It's the diseased human and control of the character that's the problem.
Yes.
Whatchamacallit? The great Cavoon says, I played Sir Will in mine. Yeah. See, Sir Will was out there. I mean, just a huge list of characters you could play in these things. We've got the sheets all ready for you, all made up. By the way, for more information on all of this, you can go to glasscannonnetwork.com/GenCon. And find out more about the gauntlets and everything and when they're happening and who's running what games, what days, etc. It's all on that link right there. But, all right. So he grabs this character and a few others who we'll meet in a moment, and they set out into the Lachlan Hills to try to find AWOL. After several hours of searching, Lork picks up a trail. Picks up a trail and identifies it as AWOL's. It seems to fit his boot size, his et cetera, his moving along game trails, et cetera. And it gets into a
he wore
higher
Nikes, right? This is someone who came through here wearing Nikes.
Yes, exactly. These are the Nikes. There they are. And he begins to follow up a rocky slope, sort of a switchback hill. And the terrain, sort of the trees begin to fall away a little bit, and it gets a little rocky, and you keep following these footsteps. As you're coming around one of these crags, we'll say, one of these sort of big rocks, we see Lork is leading the way, maybe Olog right behind him, and then we see a third character following along. Who would like to introduce their character next?
Yes, no, I'll step in here. To say you see him following actually means looking to the trees. You see swinging along on short, stubby arms and with glistening pectorals. Just tight abs, and a long flowing beard with bits of food and twigs in it. Xantar, king of the Zooks.
Yes.
Right. Your grace.
Jared, as you began the description, Foreman over on Twitch immediately wrote in all caps, "The king has returned." Yes.
I saw that.
Return,
I was like, what?
King. Return of the king.
The return of the king.
Xantar lands on a low-hanging branch like a wild cat. And then he looks up into the sky and goes, "Yeah! Yeah!" And then he looks at you and says, "Sometimes when I do that, birds come." And then he kind of just waits for birds. And none arrive. Because he doesn't have that power on his character sheet.
Oh, man. Make
Xantar,
birds
give
come
me
with his voice.
Xantar, what is your perception bonus?
My perception bonus? I'm so glad you asked. Hold on. Perception is +7 at this level.
+7. Okay. Mm-hmm. You do this call, and you perceive perhaps some birds moving toward your call.
Oh,
and
it worked.
See? It worked. But now the trees begin to thin truly in earnest, and there's very few around. Xantar has to kind of maybe start climbing along rocks as you're going along, and I'm curious how Sydney's character feels about this, watching this man. Wait, is he a dwarf?
He's a dwarf.
Yeah, watching this dwarf leap from tree to rock and call and do bird calls into the air. What do we see, Sid?
We see, watching from the distance, a hulking form. We see it in silhouette, so we can't really tell who it is yet. But as they step into the... Is it daytime?
Yeah, it's daytime, and it's like bright and sunny. Sorry, I should have said that. It's daytime, bright and sunny, birds are chirping, and you're following this trail.
As they step into the sunlight, it glistens off of their slick, red skin as their wings unfurl, though they cannot fly at this level, I'm pretty sure. You see Averxius the Red his axe and turn to the dwarf and say, "What are you doing? You look like a fool. You're making me look foolish with your movements."
I look at Foley, nowhere to be seen. I look up at him and I say, "I am one with nature. Long I have lived in the wilds and learned the ways of its creatures." And then I sit down on the ground and do that thing dogs do when they kind of skid their butthole along the carpet.
He's expressing his glands.
Averxius.
Exactly.
Averxius
turns towards Lork and just goes, Is this really who we're going with? This is it? This is the group? Okay. And he starts to walk on.
I like to think of us as a ragtag bunch of adventurers with glandular problems.
A ragtag group, is it? Ragtag, would we say? Bringing up the rear. So far, silent character. Perhaps choosing their moment to speak. Choosing carefully. Observing. And thinking. Who brings up the rear, Kate Stamos?
Well, as you say that, a small but sturdy fellow walks up. Says, "Speak for yourself, partner." Looks up, his blue eyes from under his hat. It's Baron. Baron Redheart. Sheriff of True Now.
Oh, man, it feels so great to just hear it. Sheriff of True Now.
Sheriff of True Now.
Amazing.
The sheriff and the king together at last.
Yeah. Two dwarfs, the sheriff and the king together at last.
Yeah. Love that us dwarves have titles.
Dwarves have titles.
I have a title. The Red. I have a title.
Oh.
I'm a sergeant.
Right. Good to see you, Lork.
I killed a crow when I was a baby.
All true. You all continue, and you're switching back up these cliffs, and... It's actually, curiously enough, it's actually Baron in the back who, you know, let me just take control of you for a second, Skid, and just say that I imagine Olog as calling out here and there, you know, AWOL, you know, just sort of calling and the his voice kind of echoing off of these cliffs. And it's actually Baron. I rolled a whole bunch of secret checks here. And it's Baron who feels like he hears something in reply. And it's not just the echo of Olog's voice bouncing. You feel like you hear in the distance up this hill and nearby, like getting kind of close, a mumble, a muted cry for help, perhaps, but it's very low and barely audible.
Shush, shush. Y'all hear that? It's a mumble. Mumble for help?
AWOL! Paul!
Oh, is that what your friend sounds like?
You hear the... His voice rings out again, and then in the silence, as you're all, like, tuned in and listening, you hear this, like... Just this, like, moaned, sort of muted cry.
Could I recall knowledge to know what kind of animal makes that sound?
It sounds like a person. Like a person. Yeah, you feel like it's coming in response to
sounds like an
to
animal
calls.
To me, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, we're all animals, right? When we get right down
true.
To it.
That's true. Humans are animals. That's a very good point.
That's a good point.
As you approach this sound, you see what looks like it appears that at the top of this switchback, a large boulder, I mean, huge boulder that could almost be like another level, but it's so sheer there wouldn't be like an easy way up there, seems to have collapsed in some sort of rock fall. And tumbling down onto and over the path is a massive pile of rocks. And the voice, the cry for help that is so muted and barely has any energy seems to be coming from under this rock fall.
Xantar will run up and start trying to pull the rocks off of whoever's under there.
Great. As will Lork. Oh, he'll limp up. He'll limp Same. Up. He's got a bum knee.
I'll look around to see like where the rocks came from. Is that obvious or no?
It seems pretty obvious. It seems like they're kind of... well, actually, you know what? What is... I have your perception. That's fine. Okay. You guys start pulling rocks away, and within an instant, like... It takes you, you know, maybe half a minute or so of work, not long though, before you get, you know, one pretty heavy rock off, and you can just see a partial shock of this RNG dyed red hair under the rocks.
That hair anywhere.
And you see that he has been trapped under this rock fall, but the rocks seem to have been spaced part, you know, apart enough that air is getting in there, but he was unable to move on his own. As you're pulling it away, Baron, you are looking up to see where this rock fall came from. At first glance, it seemed to have shorn off the side of this stone that is, you know, this large boulder that is right next to you, right next to it. But as you look closer, you see no evidence of rocks detaching from that rock. It seems rounded. It seems to be protruding out a little bit, even over this rock fall, you know, maybe slightly, but enough that you feel that something is a little bit off. And that is when, as you all are pulling the rocks out, the rocks themselves begin to shake and tremble in your hand. Any rock that you're holding rips out of your grasp and starts to whoom, whoom, slam back down onto a wall and then sort of begin to congeal into each other and then start to groan and grumble and rise into like a humanoid, purely rock form. And this giant, like earth elemental stands over Awol's body, which is now cleared of the rocks, but is horribly sort of beaten and, you know, laying there on the ground. Let's roll for initiative and we'll go to a map. This is where our gauntlet begins.
Awesome. Just like Galaxy Quest.
Sick.
Yes.
It is like Galaxy Quest.
Garignac.
And Joe, just to be clear, this is not the creature that anyone who's coming to a gauntlet this Gen Con will face. This is just an example.
No, I just whipped this together like literally today, basically. Like I thought of it a couple days ago and then like put the fine touches on it today. That's why I don't know if you're all going to die, because this is not play tested. This is like I just sort of whipped it up. And
we are second level. I think we should. People are asking. This is.
Level. I'm so sorry. You're all playing the second level versions. When we do gauntlets, we offer tables at second level and tables at sixth level for the gauntlets. Again, glasscannonnetwork.com/GenCon. You can get all kinds of information on when we are running these. I'm running them. Kate's running them. Skid's running them. Jared, Sydney, Matthew, we're all running gauntlets over the 4 days of Gen Con. And if you're around, if you're coming to Indy, you can buy a seat, come, sit down, support us, support the booth, and just hang out with us for an hour and see if you can beat the encounter. It's so much fun.
My table for the gauntlets, if you spend 40 extra dollars, which you give to me, you can smoke at my table. So... cigarettes, cigars, pipe, whatever.
Whatever
it's totally
want.
Cool. Oh. Just each of you has to give me $40.
I didn't know we could do this. Hey, so if you give me $50, maybe I'll let you see a toe.
Oh,
wow. Oh, my God.
Maybe. Maybe. No pictures, though.
You don't want to go down that road, Kate.
Yeah. You might regret even
it. It ends in bad places.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, well. It's on the internet now.
Okay. I am just... our good friends at Foundry are supplying the VTT for tonight, and I am just setting up our encounter here. I didn't want to set it up in advance because I didn't want to... tip you guys off to anything that might be coming, and so I just need to do a little bit of work here, but it's going to be great. Okay.
Cool.
Are you seeing it now? I'll put it up on stream here in a second. I just got to, like, you know, I got to work this. I got to work the system, but I think, yeah, here we go. You should be able to see it now.
Very cool.
On stream. Don't get that confused with your guys' own maps, right? But... We are, you're looking across here at this this giant earth elemental. We have got, let's go in here for a second. We have got this giant earth elemental. We've got Xantar of the Zoogs. Yeah. There's Lork Iron Tusk. By the way, all art by Angeline, the fantastic artist Angeline. Olog Crowborn. This is a brand new pin that will be, that will be released soon. You can get the Olog Crowborn pin.
Oh, I haven't even seen. That's awesome.
Yeah, let me get a little closer for you. There's
cool.
The new Olog Crowborn pin. And obviously, there's a lot more to it than just the head. There's a whole, like, huge axe and everything. It's amazing.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is, you can see a little bit of AWOL underneath the creature. And then back here, we've got Baron Redheart, Averxius the Red, and of course... Ben Vereen! Can't forget Ben Vereen, the Wolverine.
Ben Vereen, the Badger.
Yeah, so if you play Lork in the Gauntlets, at second level, you get Ben Vereen. At sixth level, you get Barry Connick Jr. So, like, you get to select which one you want there. All right, let's take it wider out a little bit and look at the larger map.
Is this the map? Did we do this map for one of the encounters in the playtest? It looks like
we may have. I don't remember. Maps. But this is a standard Pathfinder flip map, and it's called I think it's called Hill Country. I loved this one, but it seems to be this switchback. You follow this trail up and around, and then it switches back into these narrow corridors here, and you come out up at the top. And so we're going to play it fast and loose here with the rules in terms of the land. But rest assured, this is a drop here of a cliff. As you can see, this is all cliff wall here. This is all cliff wall here. But it's sloped. It actually takes that long to get back down to the lower parts. So, we'll take that as it comes. If anybody wants to move up or down cliffs, I'm not looking to be too much of a hard ass about it. But I do want to, make it feel realistic for everybody. So we'll get to that when we can. All right. Let us start with Initiativo. I'm going to start by rolling mine live. Oh, what do you know? I don't roll initiative like Troy.
Yes.
How about that? I actually roll like a human being when I roll initiative. But I do have a huge bonus. In fact, it's so funny. Like, this thing says... I didn't even realize this. I put it together on Foundry, and it is listing the threat of your encounter as severe. Mm-hmm. So, I think it knows what's up here. Okay. Next, we have... AWOL is not going to be a part of it, really. We'll get to him in a second. Lork, what did you get for initiative?
I'm Lork. I rolled it.
I'm
Lork.
I was like waiting for Joe to respond. I rolled a 21.
I'm a Lork.
21. Awesome. Okay, Olog, what did you get?
I rolled, as I always do, I rolled terribly for initiative. I rolled an 8.
An 8, okay. Olog, and then we've got Averxius the Red. What'd you get?
19.
19, phenomenal. And Xantar, King of the Zoogs?
10.
10, and Baron Redheart.
Y'all fucking playing the second edition Gunslinger, Baron, amazing. I rolled 28. I got a +2 from my 10 paces feet. And when I roll initiative, I can interact to draw my one-handed firearm. Wow. And then on my first action, on my first turn, I can step up to 10 feet as a free action, man.
Holy shit.
I love gunslingers.
Second level?
I'm second level. I rolled a 28. I rolled a natural 17.
The damage on this 2E gunslinger is not quite the same as the 1E gunslinger.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's no touch AC. Another huge advantage that you don't
It's not
have.
A huge advantage, but the main thing you have such a high bonus to hit.
Yeah, I do.
Your bonus to hit is way higher than anybody else's in the party. Your build, I think, is basically like you have to crit.
You have to.
Because when you crit,
your damage die is a D4, right?
It's a D4, but when you crit, it's fatal D8. So at second level, it becomes 2d8 plus your bonus instead of 1d4.
Precision damage. Double. I've got like Bane ammo use.
The second die isn't double.
We'll see. But
yeah. So anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun here. Does anybody have any questions? Any other questions before we kick it off? Because I think it's set up. I'm going to begin the encounter.
No, I'm good. I'm ready.
First
My body
to act.
Is ready.
Yep. Is Baron Redheart. How are you going to beat Baron in initiative? It doesn't make any sense.
My gun's already out.
Wait, I do have a question.
Yeah?
Yes.
Do we have any bottle caps?
Oh, I was going to ask that too.
Oh, yeah. Everybody has one bottle cap to begin. This is the same way we run them at Gen Con. Everybody gets one bottle cap to begin.
Sweet.
I think I'm going to use my first action I might as well move. I can move up to 10 feet as a free action if it's the first thing I do. My first action on my first turn.
Okay.
So I'm going to scoot up Nya. Oh, that was 15 feet. Right, Nya.
Okay.
Move up 10 feet for free, because why not? And then I'm going to try to do an intimidating glare. I'm going to try to demoralize you.
Okay.
Because why not? Let's see how it goes. It's a 20. Dirty 20.
A dirty 20 against my will DC. That is a success.
Amazing.
Oh, heck yeah.
Nice. So you're demoralized.
So I'm frightened one.
Frightened one.
Nice. All right.
Holy
and now,
crap.
With my
what is
gun,
happening?
I'm going to shoot you.
And now with my gun, I'm going to shoot you.
It's a 21 on the first one.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry, guys. I keep forgetting. Let me know if you need to see the map or something. Just sorry. Keep me honest. I apologize. I forgot. Okay. I'll try to get you zoomed in here on the fight. There we go. There's the setup.
So not great. 21 Torpentine on the...
Time says, I like when... What is it? No, that wasn't Tori. It was Clorpdog said, I like when Kate does stuff.
That's why. Yeah. Action Kate.
Action
Kate,
baby.
Action Kate.
I'm so used to rolling twice from Zephyr. So my first one, it was a 21 to hit. And let me just see. What's my ammo in here? Do I have like one ammo in my gun?
Uh-huh.
Reload one. Okay, all right. So my second roll doesn't mean anything. So 21 to hit for the first one.
That is a hit.
Amazing. Nice. So... 1d4 plus 1d4 piercing. So that's...
Wait. It's 1d4 plus 1, right? 1d4 plus 1 piercing.
It just says 1d4 on my sheet, and then I get 1d4 precision damage. Sorry, not piercing.
Oh.
1d4 piercing plus 1d4 precision damage.
Okay. Is that right? Okay.
So that's... 3 piercing, 2 precision.
Okay.
And then...
It's 1d4 plus 1 piercing.
Where did you see that? Oh, you're looking at my character sheet?
Yeah, that's what I saw before. Where are you getting the precision from?
I loaded this all into Path Builder because sometimes these sheets are overwhelming with many, many pages.
Yeah.
So I didn't get the plus one. Okay, so 1d4. So that's 4 points precision damage. And then I guess I don't get the 1d4 piercing? Or wait.
It's 1d4 plus one precision. Sorry, 1d4 plus one piercing.
Right. Yes,
and then I think that's on a crit, you get fatal and you get more dice. And it's good time.
Okay, well, we'll just go with 4 points of damage.
Okay, so you fire and it's just like, and it clangs off of this rock and chips away some of it. Nice. What else
I'm
you got?
I'm going to try for my last action to do my risky reload, which is fun.
Nice.
So I reload and also strike with the firearm at the same time. And the risk is here is if I fail, then I misfire.
You misfire and your gun is jammed.
And I have to unjam it like with a full action. So, all right, second one. 20.
20.
Dirty
is...
20 to hit.
Ugh. And you took the map?
I did. I rolled a natural 15 and I have a plus 5. Ugh.
It is 20 because it is frightened.
Oh, hell yes! You see Baron
unbelievable.
Just like saunter up somehow as a free action in these 60 seconds. Bam! And then like really quick and finesse all reload and then bam again. with his gun.
It's like the Terminator on the motorcycle, like flipping it around.
So that's another 2 points of piercing damage.
Okay. Awesome. Nice. I'm seeing you get, you know, you do get D4 from Slinger's Precision. Do you see that on your sheet?
Yeah, I have Slinger's Precision. I deal an extra 2 precision damage with strikes made from my non-repeating crossbows. Okay, crossbows.
Narco Dome says
an extra 1d4 precision damage on strikes with my firearms.
It's in the remaster, Joe, so it's something.
So for both of those, I get an extra 1d4.
Oh, okay.
So that's 4 and then 2. So an extra 6 points of precision.
An extra 6 points of precision.
For both
okay.
of them.
Nice.
Wow, okay, so yeah, you're chipping away at this thing, and...
I like that they scaled down the abilities of the gunslinger for 2E, and then pumped them up a little bit for the remaster.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different gunslingers. The pistolero, I think, was not received that well in terms of its effectiveness, but there was a lot of different gunslinger... kind of paths that you could go. You know, the rifle ones, the sniper ones are pretty cool. All right. Are you done yet? Did your risky reload. Right.
Yep, that
so
was all
So just
three
remember,
actions.
You have an empty gun right now at the start of your next turn. And we move on to Lork.
So, Joe, you said this slopes to our north. Is a slope, not a cliff face. Like, I could scramble up the slope if I wanted to?
No, this is a cliff face. You would have to climb it. It'd be very difficult. To the north of me. Yeah, to the north, that is like, you can climb it, but it's got a lot of handholds and stuff, but it is a sheer rock face.
Got it.
To your west is a sloping cliff down along to the next part of that switchback path that you took.
Ugh, this is not my favorite map for what we're doing. Lork is just going to pull back to stand back behind Ben Vereen.
Okay.
That should be... Yeah, okay, so now I'm outside my volley. I will spend my second action to hunt prey. I'm assuming there's no AOO.
There is no AOO.
I hunt prey, and then I will quick draw for my final action with the bow. And I get a strike included in that, so I will get off one shot.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
That is an 18 to hit.
And that is a miss. It just sails over him. Out over the hillside and into the distance. Matthew, thank you so much for staying true to Lork.
I'm just trying to play the character the way he's meant to be played.
What would my character do in this moment? You would miss.
Retreat.
Retreat, miss.
And do nothing with my animal companion.
Yeah. Oh, right. You didn't even command animal on old Ben Vereen. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
All right. It is my turn. All right. Let's see here. I am... There we go. Okay. All right, so first action, this creature just... It just rises up, and then it is going to just slam down on Xantar. Just... Boom! It comes to swing this huge, meaty rock fist at Xantar. Here we go. That is a 24 to hit.
A 24. Let me check my level 2 character sheet to see if a 24 hits it. Yeah, that hits it. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. That is 15 points of bludgeoning damage.
Whoa! Whoa. Fuck my sister.
As it smashes down into Santa. Off the zooks! And then I'm going to... Oh, this is interesting. I'm going to go ahead and take a second attack at Olog. With the map, another slam, but that's going to be a 25 to hit.
Yeah, it's almost a crit.
Oh, man. Oh, no! And I just rolled 21 points of damage.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
No. Oh, no. Boom! And
oof.
With its final action, it is going to... Let's see. It's going to move back. It starts to move away. Yeah. It moves back and away. And now you see, sort of fully out in the sunlight, is AWOL's body. And it's face down. He seems to be breathing, but he's just laying there pretty inert. And that is his turn. Oh, I missed it. And then we have Averxius the Red.
Ooh, he's mad. Okay, Averxius is going to yell out, "Come back here, you coward!" And he is going to run up through Olog and Xantar, and he's going to swing with his great axe. And you know what? I'm going to do my vicious swing. So it's my two actions, but I do get a extra weapon damage dice. I think that's better than swinging twice with the map. So I'm going to do a two action vicious swing and gain an extra damage dice.
Oh! Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Phenomenal choice.
Get rocked.
Sorry, it took me a second, but it deserved a laugh. I'm sorry, no one
get
laughed.
Get rocked.
Oh.
What?
Wow.
Sorry, I don't get puns. I still don't really understand, but everyone seems to be laughing, so that's
that wasn't cool. That wasn't Averxius. That was Sydney saying that. Averxius would never say that. I'm... Oh! Natural 20.
Yeah!
Natural 20.
Nice.
Dude, oh my God. An Averxius natural 20 on a vicious swing is it's an encounter ender.
Wait,
That's a natural, crazy.
A natural 20 is, so I get the extra weapon damage dice, and then I double, would it work?
Oh, man. I can't believe I just didn't have your characters up right now.
So, great axe, vicious swing, it's two actions to gain one extra weapon damage dice. So then I would, the crit is times two for the great axe. It's 1d12 plus four.
Mm-hmm.
So I would double that and just add that extra die, or I double
it? I think you double everything.
You double everything.
This is awesome.
Yeah, that's huge.
This
so you
so
get an
sick.
Extra
we're gonna be done early.
Die of weapon damage. You have the great axe, so you're going to do... 2d12 plus 4 and then double it.
Yep.
Oh my God. Where's my d12s? Where do I...
Oh my
D12?
God.
We'll have so much time for roleplay.
Yeah.
We can all talk to AWOL.
So,
Faneless Finnerly in the chat confirms 2d12 plus 4 times 2. And for those that don't know, Faneless Finnerly is our good friend Professor Eric. So trust.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Trust what he says in chat. Yes, Faneless Finnerly is the alter ego of Professor Eric. Huh. And so I'll look to Faneless for some guidance here.
So 2d12 plus 4 is 18. So double that, and then I roll...
36.
And then I roll an additional for the vicious, yeah?
No, that's the vicious is 2d12.
Oh, but then the crit is also...
Then you double the whole thing.
Times two. Oh, I see,
So it's 36 points of damage.
I see, yes. Okay,
An
so 36
absolutely
total.
Absolutely crushing blow to this creature. Oh, you know what? I'm not used to GMing Pathfinder, especially on Foundry. Let me get you guys... a look at this, the full character artwork, because this thing is badass. But first, let me take 36 goddamn points of damage. Are you serious right now?
We're
going
to win.
Yeah.
Instead of total party kill, total party survive.
All tank boys. Yeah.
That is it for Averxius, because that was...
is that it? That was an amazing turn. And it really rocked this creature. Let's take a look at it here. Let me see if I can get it up on stream. No, never mind. All right, here we go. I'm looking at the wrong thing here.
It looks cool in the tiny photo I can see.
Yeah, but it's better when you have the whole...
I want to see the full artwork or I refuse to continue.
I won't swing another axe until I can
here
see
we go.
The artwork.
That should work.
Oh! It's kind of cute, but you gotta put it on stream, Joe.
Yeah.
He's kind of cute.
Look at
it. Body
rocks.
Look at all his little teeth.
No genitals to speak of.
Body, yaddy, 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 yaddy.
No, he's like concrete. It's good.
Oh, no, you're right.
Rock elementals have a cloaca.
And it's in the back, so you can't see it.
Yeah, you can't see their cloaca.
Right. Okay, I was going to say, aim for the cloaca, but...
Beautiful.
But if you see
eyes.
The name of it here, it is Living Landslide, which is pretty awesome. And it's funny to I choose my moments here. I show you this living landslide as Lork hits this punishing blow to it. It explodes into pieces. The rocks just shoot out from it in all directions and crumble down to the earth. Boom! And the rocks themselves. The thing just gets obliterated, and the rocks themselves just sort of like sink into the earth, and it's gone.
What? It's over?
It seems like it.
Whoa!
It seems like it.
Averxius turns around and looks at Lork, who is very far away, and says, "Good job, I guess."
Yes, you said you gave your inner Lork, Joe, just gave Lork that kill. Not
so he just puts his axe back and just goes, "All right, we're done. Let's keep moving."
We out of initiative?
All right, we're done. Let's keep moving. No, you are not out of initiative. Oh. As the rocks hit the ground and hit the dirt, they seemed to suck down into the soil. It like rumbled and then just like disappeared just below the surface. Your hackles are up. You feel like you're still in danger.
Okay.
Wrap it up. Yep, let's get out of here. Where this fight is done. I've done it.
Someone needs to carry AWOL.
Well, who's next? Xantar?
Yeah, Xantar, it's your call on what you want to do, but
Xantar's
I know this is a
going,
weird situation.
Come back so I can break you! And he's just pounding his club against the ground. And then Xantar, that doesn't count as an action, by the way. Then Xantar's going to, make a recall knowledge with nature, maybe?
Yes.
Okay.
Excellent.
Excellent. Kill them. Nature. All right. Man, my dice are bad tonight. That's a 2 for a total of who gives a shit? 7 altogether.
7 altogether. You've never seen anything like this. I mean, you are an aficionado in so many ways of animals and nature. This thing definitely seems outside the realm of your normal animals that you might encounter in the hill regions. Something else is going on here.
I don't know what we just faced, but it's definitely not some sort of earth elemental.
Well said. A decisive...
As always, penetrating insight, my liege.
That was one action.
You have the option to, you could do something else, or you could ready if you wanted to.
He's going to, one action, of course. He's going to run up and get on the cliff beside them and then make a perception roll.
Okay, show me where you're moving.
Well, I'm trying to. How do you move in Foundry? Because it's not clicking on it and then moving the token.
You got to go up in the upper left. You have to click token controls, and then you got to click on that little bracket. Uh-huh. Make sure that that's all clicked, and you still can't move it.
Now I got it. He wants to climb up here.
Oh.
Okay, that's going to be an athletics check, but he is an absolute beast. So go ahead. Give me an athletics check.
That is, that time it's a 17.
Total?
Total.
That is enough. That is enough. It's not a critical success, so I'm going to say, so you move up to the wall. This thing looms over. I mean, it's about 15, 20 feet higher than you, so you're not quite feet planted at the top. You're near the top. You've climbed a decent amount of the way there.
Okay, do I have a third action for just a kind of a...
No, it was an action to move there, then an action to climb.
Right,
so that's,
okay. Yeah. All right, I'll stay up here.
You're almost there. Okay, it is Olog Crowborn's turn.
Okay, so I guess... So this is a feature that the Barbarian has now, I guess with the remaster, that I didn't have when I was playing him in Blood of the Wild, which is the quick-tempered feature.
Yes.
So as soon as we roll initiative, he goes into... I wish I had this.
Yeah, I know. It's a huge improvement in the remaster. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in a rage. And I guess the encounter is not over, so we're still on an initiative. But he can't really do anything but fight. Mm. I guess he could seek. He's going to try to do a seek action to see. He's going to, like, with wild, blazing eyes, he's going to, like, sniff at the air to see if he can detect any threats. That is a 19 perception.
19 perception. You, maybe you're feeling the earth beneath your feet, and it feels like the creature is moving, like just below the surface of the soil. It's like rumbling, and it feels like it's moving from where it originally was, like past you in the direction of Baron and Lork.
Oh, okay. So he's going to... And he's just going to move along the ground, like sniffing at it like a bloodhound in that direction. He's going to move a few feet away. A
few feet toward Lork and Baron?
Yeah, toward... Yeah, so he's going to move... to sort of between Lork and Baron, and I guess he can't ready an action now. And then with his third action, I guess he didn't have his axe out, so he's gonna draw. He's gonna draw his axe.
Draws his axe. Awesome, awesome. We begin round two. Baron Redheart, there is no enemy in sight. What do you do?
There's no enemy in sight, but Baron's got a stonemason's eye. And he gets a +2 circumstance bonus to perception checks to notice unusual stonework. Does this count? I'm wondering if I can make a perception check with that bonus to be like, to figure out where this thing might pop up again, because I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, yeah, please.
Let's go, because I want to move away from it. So that's going to be perception...
You know what? I'll roll it. What's your bonus?
+9 and then an extra +2 for my feet, so 11.
Because of the rock. So +11.
I rolled really good when I rolled. You better have rolled good.
You don't know what I rolled. All you know is the information. It feels like it is moving toward you, and... Your best bet, you feel like, if you want to get away, is to move toward where it was.
Yeah.
Because it feels like it's moving away from where it was. Feels like it's maybe like running in fear from a Avirxius or something.
Yeah.
So all maybe right, if you stay near a Avirxius, it won't go there.
I'm going to take 20 feet because I've got such little legs. That's all my movement
yeah.
I get.
Yeah.
20 feet right next to a Avirxius and use an action to reload my gun. And I think I want to use maybe my elemental ammunition, my fire elemental ammunition. So it will deal
nice.
An extra one persistent damage if I hit.
That's but it also awesome.
Deals, it also deals splash damage, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Great. Amazing. Big J, thanks for the donation on YouTube. Appreciate you. Says big fans from the West Coast. Yes.
Oh.
Awesome to see you. Glad we knew when we had this like super, I mean, it's late for us. It's late for us old folks, not for you young kids out there. But the 9 o'clock, we were like, West Coast people are going to love it. So, yeah, we're rocking at a good time for the West Coast. All right. That's Baron, and it is Lork's turn.
Okay. Did you share the knowledge about where you think this elemental's headed?
No, I can't, really. Like, I can't.
Or you're in the rage.
I'm in a rage, so.
All right, so
you
then...
just see him, like, focused on the ground, like, snuffling at it, and just, like, moving towards something.
So, Joe, I am going to try to climb this this rock face next to me.
Okay.
To get on higher ground.
That's fun.
I thought so. So I'm going to do athletics, I suppose, to get up there.
James Story says it's 2 p.m. in New Zealand. Great time for a game.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Nice.
G'day, mate.
G'day, mate.
Nice, Jared.
Put another shrimp on the barbie down yeah. there in New Zealand.
Oh, my God.
So, Joe, how do you feel about me using athletics to climb the...
That's what you use, buddy.
So, okay, good. Natural 8 for a 15.
That's the Lork guy.
It is DC 15.
Okay.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah, you're going to move about halfway up the wall.
Okay, I'll spend another action. Move. You know,
Climb again.
Okay, natural 16. So I get up on the wall.
Well, what's that adjusted?
That is adjusted is going to be a 23. So not a crit.
All right, yeah, you're fine. We'll see you okay. get up there.
And also, I should have said my first action is going to have to be to stow the bow to start climbing.
Right. Okay, so end of the round or end of your round, you're on top of it without your bow in hand. And it is my creature's turn.
Okay. Ben Vereen remains below.
Yeah, Ben Vereen.
To guard my retreat.
Are they not like an independent pet at level 2, so they don't have their own actions if you don't command?
Exactly.
Correct. Yeah.
I have to command and give Ben 2 actions.
Gotta.
Your otter is safe with me, my friend.
Your otter.
Okay.
I was saying before. I was saying before we went on the character sheet, they put the animal companion stat block right above personal details. So as you're just reading, you're like, okay, Ben Vereen, male badger. Apparently, he's a badger, not a Wolverine, because there's no Wolverine in 2E. Reading, they're like, okay, low light vision, scent, etc. To hit, blah blah blah. Age 41, height 6'1, weight 210.
That's a big badger.
Some badger.
Beefcake badger. Beef. Jeez. Beef.
Okay. This is wild. This thing moves. It starts rumbling and... You all feel the earth rumble, but particularly Lork and Xantar. You can feel the rock beneath your feet shaking as suddenly out of nowhere this creature bursts from between you and comes up and out of the rock.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
On top of this thing.
Oh, my gosh.
It has an earth glide ability that allows it to move through any kind of rock or soil or stone as if it just can, like, mold through it. However, to get there in that distance and up is two full move actions, but it pops up in time to have enough for one slam on old Lork Iron Tusk. And he will swing. Here we go. Coming at Lork. Oh, Jesus. Oh, of course it's against Lork. That is a 30. Sorry, 31.
Oh, my God.
To hit.
It doesn't matter. Both are a crit.
Yeah.
Both are a crit. Oh, boy. Oh, no!
Joe!
I rolled near max.
It's a gauntlet. It's what's supposed to happen.
That is, it is I rolled near max, 30 points of damage.
Oh,
Lork Iron Tusk falls.
Oh, no!
Oh, God!
Jeez! Boom! And he goes down. Boom!
How does it feel, Joe?
Yeah. Do you feel strong?
I'll be honest. I didn't like it very much. Not for Lork. I can't believe how high I rolled on those.
We didn't bring any healers either.
No healers. But that is his full turn, though a vicious turn it was. Lork is going to end up going to dying two.
Oh,
dying two, Lork.
Dying two. Oh, yeah.
Dying two because it was a crit.
Because it was a crit. Oh, yep. No.
Let's see. Do I have die hard? I do not.
Got a level two, baby.
You okay.
Can die hard at level two.
Can you? Can you get die hard at level two?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think level two you can get a general feat, right? And you can take Die Hard, I think.
Pretty sure.
Okay. This is round two. Okay. And it is Averxius' turn.
Sorry, I was eating ice cream.
You know what? Before you do that, Lork, I just want to do this because I'm running the game. I do whatever I fucking feel like. I want you to... I want to do a luck roll, basically, to see if you stay up here or if you fall off the side. And I'm not going to do damage to you for it. Not like make you dying three or anything, but I just want to see where you end up. Wow. So,
that's a nice GM.
Give me a roll.
D20?
Yeah.
Change dice.
What do you want to do? Do you want to stay up at the top or do you want to go down the bottom?
I think I'd like to stay up at the top.
Okay, so then 11 to 20, you'll stay at the top. 1 to 10, you go to the bottom.
13.
13, all right, so your body, boom, you land, you were on a flat enough spot that you stay right up there. Sorry, Averxadirk, you're up.
Oh, this ice cream's so cold. I'm loving this, guys. This is awesome.
Glad you're enjoying yourself over there.
I'm hanging with my friends. Lork is down. This is awesome. All right. Averxius says, I really wish my wings worked. And he's going instead of fly, run. Joe, will you let me? It says if I move to this, it's like in between these two spaces, it's like 22 feet. I have a 25 speed. Can I climb that rock in like 2 feet? Or how tall did you say that rock was? Like, can I get on the rock?
No, the rock is like almost 20 feet tall. So you it's a move action to go up to it, and then you start climbing, and you're going to have to crit to get far. But otherwise, you can just start climbing up and then use another action to get up there. You know, that's the whole thing is like...
Yeah, yeah.
It takes two successes, I'm just going to say, to get to the top of it.
I mean, he's got to...
I know that's against the rules, but I want to keep it moving. So I'll let you guys climb faster than normal.
Yeah, zero range weapons. I just have to get up there.
But you also have to stow your axe. And that's an action.
So I only have one action to climb.
Yeah, so like this thing being up on top of this rock is a real bad situation for you if it has ranged attacks. Otherwise, you could just wait for it to come back down. Like, you know, if you want to climb, you got to stow, move, and start climbing.
I suppose we don't know if it has ranged attacks yet.
No, you haven't. You failed to recall knowledge.
You know what?
You've only done one.
I'll do the classic Joe. I'll delay.
There we go. I was setting it up for you. Just got to knock that down. You just got to knock it down. Set it up. Knock it down. There we go. Okay. Averxius is going to delay, and we go to Xantar.
All right. So first you'd say Xantar probably had to put away his club to climb up here. Is that right?
Right. Right. Okay. I think we forgot that, but I don't care now. But it is not in your hands.
He's animal instinct, so he doesn't need it. And so he's going to first action rage.
No, you don't have to rage.
I don't.
As part of the remaster, yeah. If that sheet hasn't been updated, don't worry about it. You rage for free at the start of initiative now.
Oh, okay.
So you've already got it all.
All right. Then I move right up to the rock elemental, and with my fist, I gorilla attack it.
You're not using the great club?
Well, I have it stowed, and I want to start hitting this thing.
Yeah, okay. You move up and start smashing it.
Yeah, all right, here it comes. That is a 20.
20 is a miss.
Oh.
It's 21.
It's 21. So yeah, you make contact with its side, but it's like a glancing blow. It doesn't just chips off the rock, doesn't seem to do anything.
I forgot what I should have did first, which is demoralize.
Yes!
Yeah. And I can do it with just a look. So the look of a feral predator or a maddened gorilla is in Xantar's eyes as he rolls intimidation and gets a 19.
Ooh. Oh, fail.
No!
The DC was 20.
Dude, that was a frustrating turn. All right.
That was.
That is an enormously frustrating turn. Olog, this thing is looming above you. You can barely see it at this angle. It's so high, straight above you on this top of this rock.
As a player, I want to delay, but I don't think, in his rage, I don't think he can. So I am, I think he drops his axe. I think he drops his axe at his feet and he's going to try to climb this rock face.
Okay. Give me an athletics check.
14.
It's DC 15. So he slips, part of a rock just comes off with his grip. His grip is so strong, he just rips part of the rock wall right off and makes no progress.
All right, try again. There we go. That's 23.
23, success. You are halfway up the wall.
All right, one more time. 14.
Fuck. Oh, man. All right. Again, trying to find a good handhold. You can't get there, but you are on the wall, making your way up. Round 3, Baron Redheart.
I shoot at the rock monster with my gun.
Yes.
Yeah. What is the range? I was
40. So
I did
the Pythagorean theorem while I was waiting for my turn. And with that, you're like 30 something feet away. If you're 25 feet away from me, 20 feet up, it's like 30 something. So it's within my range. Don't you worry about it. Okay. Ugh. It's a 16.
Oh, no.
It's a miss.
Yeah, you hit one particularly strong rock on this thing, and the bullet just ricochets off it like literally shooting a stone.
Dang.
It doesn't seem to do anything. And there that was the fire ammo.
That was my elemental ammo. All right, well, don't have any
more. So does
more
that
of those.
Do splash damage on a miss and make Lork dying 3?
Joe.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Baron's
it deals
kill
one
Lork
persistent
again?
Damage and one splash damage. I mean, it does splash damage.
Oh my god. I think by the book, you hit it just goes, and this brief burst of flame does 1 point of damage, right? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
One splash.
Yeah, one.
Oh my god!
Dying 3.
All right. Lork goes to dying 3, and Xantar takes 1 point of fire damage as his face is singed by the explosive ammunition.
Ouch.
All right.
Oh,
my God. I take another action.
Stop shooting your gun.
Stop shooting my gun. That's my only ammo that I have a splash damage. Don't you worry about it.
It's like in Django Unchained when they start using bodies. He's like using the body as a barricade. He's behind it. It's like poles. He's like hitting this dead body again and again and again. That's Lork.
So, I'm going to try to do my risky reload again. I know it's not smart. I don't care. I'm not here for a smart time. I'm here for a good time. So let's see what happens.
That's the other thing. When you're doing a gauntlet, you can do whatever you want.
That's right.
But it's not 20. It was 20 because I intimidated you that first time. So it's a dirty 20.
Oh, dirty 20 is a miss because Xantar failed on the
demoralized
by
it's
one.
It's all your fault, Xantar. So I missed. So my gun is jammed now. So with my third action, I think this is how it works. I have to spend an action to clear it. And then next turn, I would have to spend an action to reload it again. So I'm going to spend an action to clear it. That's all I do.
Oosh.
Can't win them all.
I found out something frustrating. I just want to come clean. When I crit, I have Intimidating Strike. And you would have been frightened, too.
No, you have to choose Intimidating Strike instead of Vicious Swing.
I thought it was auto. Okay,
it's
then
a kind
I feel
of strike.
Less bad.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat, but I think you say, like, I'm doing Intimidating Strike. Like,
copy that, okay.
Yeah. So, no, you did perfect. You crit on a Vicious Swing. You guys are still in this because of that crit, like 100%. It's dire, but you're in it because of that crit. Professor Eric confirms. Let's move to Lork Iron Tusk, who is already in initiative just before the creature that put him down anyway, so didn't have to move. Here we are. Dying three with no other feats to help you, right? So you need a straight up 14 or higher? Or 13
or higher on the die.
13 or higher.
Come on, Matthew.
What die to roll?
A 20-sided one. It's your best odds.
It's my best odds. Thank you, Sydney. Okay. All right, let's do this. I rolled. This is just too perfect. I rolled... Oh, it's going to be hard to see, but I'm going to try. I rolled that number.
Sorry, hold on.
I can't see it. I'm too old.
A five. You rolled a five. the Lork's worst enemy is Nemesis. The worst roll ever. The charge against Kargik. Five. No, I can't believe it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I would immediately go to dying.
You go to dying four, permanently die. So you turn in your bottle cap. I mean, unbelievable, Matthew, that you rolled a five. Classic Lork. Dude, this is what happens at these gauntlets. I'm telling you, these like stories out all the time. It's so much fun. Okay. Lork is stable and wounded one. You still get wounded one with a bottle cap, right? Or do you just not get wounded one?
I believe you're wounded, but I'll look it up. Otherwise, I'm stable at 0 hit points.
Stable at 0 hit points.
I believe I would be wounded too, right?
Because you went to dying too? No.
No, they changed that.
Wounded one. I'll look up.
You are not wounded. I thought so. I thought if you use your hero points.
Oh, no, yeah. If you use your
you are not wounded. Yeah.
You're not. Got it.
Okay, great. So you are stable. Let me adjust this on Foundry here and make sure.
Well, let me just run down the other characters on in our party here. Barbarian, Badger, Gunslinger, Devil. Might be off for the rest of this game.
So is the Badger just in a catatonic state since you're...
No, I will... I just for fun, I will let you play Ben Vereen. Like, that's fine. I'll give Ben Vereen two actions around and let you go nuts as Ben Vereen. Right.
Oh my God.
I'll play as Ben Vereen.
Got to.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, you are unconscious. All right, so we got Lork is unconscious, and... It's my guy's turn, and he didn't take any damage this round. That's a tough one. That's a tough one, team.
He's the last in the round, though, right?
No, he's third in the round.
Wait.
He's third in the round.
Was that the end of the
I'm round? First, and then it's Lork, and then the landslide.
Yeah. Okay. Baron's first, then Lork, then the living landslide.
Because I'm wondering when I should come in, because I delayed.
You delayed.
It's too late now. It came all the way back around to your turn, unfortunately. Right. But there, he never came back down before you got a chance to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So at this point, let's see. What do I want to do? I want to use like as much of his abilities as I can.
Nobody help him.
Okay. Nobody help.
Nobody help.
Oh, this is going to be fun. All right. First thing I'm going to do is attempt to shove Xantar off the rock.
Oh, no.
So he just balls up his earth rock fist and just boom. And
dude,
tries
I was gonna
to
do that to you.
Tries to bull you right off. So this is going to be against your fortitude DC. Athletics against your fort DC. That is a 26.
26. It succeeds.
It succeeds. All right. So I am going to knock you off, but I'll say there is enough of an edge that you can attempt to grab an edge. If you would like to give me a reflex save and attempt to grab the edge of this thing, if you'd like. Well, of course you'd like. But
19.
19 is a success. So you, nice. I shove you off, but you're able to kind of hold on there for a moment. And then, what? Let's go badass. Yeah, let's go badass. Then I'm going to... you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to do it again. I'm just going to shove you. Basically, he's going to slam your hands and try to knock you down off. With the map, here we go. Oh, dude. Natty 17. Oh. So that's still going to
be... Yeah, that does
it. It's a 26 again, actually.
Yep, that does it.
All right. So this time, yeah, you start sliding down the rock. Go ahead, give me a check to grab an edge. We'll see if you can grab something halfway down without taking damage. But the DC is going to be higher because this is just now a sheer rock face.
That is a 20.
20, God. That is exactly a success.
Oh,
what
nice.
A badass. Wow. So you take no damage, but you're halfway down this thing. I think this creature gets super frustrated now, alone on top of this thing, and it just goes... and jumps off of this, jumps off the rock and just booms down on the ground. Yes. And it is Averxius' turn.
Yes.
I've sort of set this up to be problematic, but we're having a good time.
Averxius will run up first action. I'm going to do now my intimidating strike, hoping to reduce some of these DCs for other
awesome.
Folks.
Awesome. Good
all
call.
All right, first hit. Let's see. Okay. That's going to be a 23 to hit.
That hits. No.
Nice.
Don't frighten me.
Such low damage. 7 points of slashing damage, and you are frightened 1.
Nice. Okay.
That's yes. huge. That frightened
and
condition is huge.
Now I'm going to hit again now that you're scared.
Okay.
Here we go. And I miss. That's a whiff, but that's okay. You're so scared, you probably didn't even notice.
Okay.
And
awesome.
That's my whole turn. And he yells out, "We've got him on the ropes! Everyone, now!" Not realizing that half the party is down and fallen off a rock face.
Xantar, you hover above this thing, just near its head, basically. This thing is about 10 feet tall, and you are hovering up right near the top of its head.
Right. It's my turn?
Yeah.
I am going to... I said I didn't have my club out before. I'm going to pull my club... and then go, and jump at the thing with my club over my head and bring the club down on its head, just like in the drawing of Xantar.
Awesome. All right, well, you're going to use an action to get your club out, mm-hmm. and I'll give you a +1 on the attack as you're coming, swinging from above. I think it's so badass.
Nice.
Take a +1 circumstance bonus to the attack.
Can I land on its shoulders if... No, probably not, right?
Let's not do it unless... Yeah, I don't think it's going to help you.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Here it comes. There we go. That's a natural 18.
Oh, no!
Yeah, for a total of 25.
25 is a hit.
Yeah, all right.
Smashes this thing on the way down. Oh, my goodness.
That hit is going to be for... that's 8. 10 bashing damage because I'm raging.
10 bludgeoning damage because you're raging.
Yep. It's
phenomenal. This thing is in bad shape. Olog. Right. Wait. I'm sorry.
Is that it?
One action. Second action. And you're going to have to take damage, Xantar. So you take 5 points of damage as you fell 10 feet as part of that attack.
Oh, no.
Go ahead and give me an athletics check. This is to see if you keep your feet or if you fall prone after this fall.
Okay. Athletics check. My best skill? No problem. That is a pathetic roll of 11.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So you are prone on the ground next to this creature. I'm just going to move you over just a little bit to show. So you are prone on the ground right next to him.
Well, that's sad.
Got tripped up on the way down. Well, the hit was just so good, it knocked you off balance.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no worries. I'll get back up.
All right. Olog.
All right. So Olog is going to just let go of the cliff face and fall 15 feet, taking 7 points of damage.
Okay.
Boom!
And I am going to... gonna pick up my axe.
Well, give me the athletics roll to make sure that you don't fall prone as part of that fall.
That's a 24.
That is a success. So you do not fall prone.
And then he picks up his axe, and he's raging and he's going to swing. Oh yes, that is a 25 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay. Where the fuck did it go? What the hell? Okay. Yes. 18 points of damage.
Ooh, oh my god.
Yes.
Oh my god.
And I'm going to swing one more time.
This thing looks near death. You have crushed this thing.
Another 25 to hit.
Yeah.
Oh.
What? Oh, the second attack?
Yeah, I rolled natural 19.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god.
Or 24 to hit. And that is another 16 points of damage.
Another 16 points of damage!
Wham! Wham!
And it dies.
Yay!
Yeah. You destroy it! Another 16 points of damage is enough
to
take it down.
Yeah, we all did some of that damage.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Everybody did most of it.
The Buff Boy Party. We did
everybody chipped away at it, and
Lork is just hanging off the side of the
slowly,
slowly sliding down.
I just heard like a thump in the back
irony, out of his mouth.
Does anyone have a healing potion?
The irony of it is like we all felt the earth move under our feet, and we see this guy tumbling down.
There you go. Well done, everybody. Very, very, very impressive. Yeah. I wasn't sure what to expect here. So I felt like this could happen when you guys chose characters. I was like, oh, this is kind of crazy. Like, this is barbarian, basically, you know, barbarian, fighter, gunslinger, ranger. I was like, oh no.
It's a weird group.
Yeah. Can I outpace this? But also, if I put people down fast, are they going to just, like, they're not going to be able to heal? And it might be an easy TPK. I don't know. So this was a creature 5. You guys are second level. This was 3 levels above you. It is a severe encounter. This thing had 90 hit points. And did 2d8 plus 8 on a strike.
Ooh.
So, like, you know, just vicious. And I wasn't sure... Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect, but it's very good to see, like, that's why these kind of, like, practice sessions are so important, you know what I mean? Test it out. Let's see, like, you know, maybe do we need a little bit more stuff? And, like, if you did this, you know, we're just a little bit at an hour, a little bit over an hour in terms of the actual fight. If you guys did this, like, 20 minutes faster, like, I've got another part of the story that can play, and there's like something else can happen.
So
you keep fighting. So that's sort of the design of the encounter, is like, you come, you hang, we throw a really hard challenge at you, but obviously it is beatable if the die go your way. And I can't even tell you how close you guys were. It was crazy that you hit the first, Baron, you hit the first demoralization. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it was exact. And that made it frightened one. And then off of that, you got an exact hit off of that on your second attack, which was the risky reload. So, like, a lot of things, you know, went well. But then, I got Lork down. But then you got the bottle cap, so you stabilize. So all of our iconic heroes survive, and you take down a living landslide. Isn't that kind of a cool creature?
Yeah, cool creature.
I also love the gauntlets are the best because, like, these characters would never, I mean, we're multiversing, you know, like, it's really fun, especially this group was so silly because we're all fighters. We're all like barbarians, like a gunslinger. You would never make a party like this. It's a bad idea. Right. But it's just hilarious.
To just go out for one fight. I mean, it's just really fun.
So fun.
So that thing that it did is, where is it? It's called Crumble. It's a reaction. The trigger is the living landslide takes damage from a hostile source while atop a rock or earth, and it's called Crumble, and it immediately just crumbles down and sinks into the earth, and then basically becomes like not attackable until its next turn, where it can pop up anywhere by gliding through the earth. So, but you can only do that once every 1d4 rounds, and I rolled a 2, so I needed to go 2 more rounds surviving before you took me out, you know, because like, you know, the next hit I take, I could just crumble again, but I had to wait 2 rounds. So you guys chipped away and got him down. So well done. Nice work.
So cool. So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My pleasure. That was so fun. Guys, if you want to experience the gauntlets, Naish, if you want to try it out, please give it a shot. If you're coming to Gen Con, go to glasscannonnetwork.com/GenCon and you can see all the details for gauntlets. You can see all the games. We're all running one. I'm running a bunch. Jared and Skid are running games. Matthew's running games. Sydney's running gauntlets. Kate's running gauntlets. And the fun thing that you'll see, you know, even if you want to sign up for multiple, is that we all play them a little bit different. Every day is a different map. And we have great 3D terrain that we use from Dwarven Forge. And we have great painted minis for all the characters and the monsters and stuff. It's just such a great like tabletop experience.
I like coming up with a different story too for like encounter, you know.
Yeah, so like each day we'll all run the same monster on the same map, but we all make different stories about how that monster came to be there or what the objective is. Sometimes the objective is not to kill the monster. Yeah. Sometimes the objective is like get something and get out. Sometimes it's open a locked chest. It's like, sometimes it's like complete the ritual before the monster destroys you or whatever. And so, yeah, there's a lot of different angles on the old gauntlets. But I hope you guys get a chance to come out to Indy and see us and hang out and play with us and give it a shot. So, one last time, that's glasscannonnetwork.com/GenCon. Check it out. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, guys.
And Sydney and Matthew and Skid and Jared for coming out, hanging out, playing. That was so much fun. And I can't wait to do it again, over and over again in Indy. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. And maybe we'll just do this again sometime. This was really fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. I love this.
Easy, throw it together, hang out, and throw some classic characters together and see if they can beat a tough one. I don't know. I feel like we should, like, we should do a few of these streams and just slowly increase like the creature CR until we see the breaking point, right? Stress test the system.
Yeah. See how long you can go without everyone dying. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Because I think you get to creature 7. I think it's very possible that you one shot each person with a regular hit. And then, you know what I mean? Then it would just be like, what are we doing? Anyway, that was awesome, guys. Thank you so much. We're going to head out of here. Have a great evening, everybody. And, we'll see you at Gen Con. Take it easy.
Later. It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Naish at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself, and see what everybody's talking about when you join The Naish today.
American history is full of infamous tales that continue to captivate audiences decades or even hundreds of years after they happened. On the Infamous America podcast, you'll hear the true stories of the Salem witch trials and the escape attempts from Alcatraz, of bank robbers like John Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd, of killers like Lizzie Borden and Charles Starkweather, of mysteries like the Black Dahlia and D.B. Cooper, and of events that inspired movies like Goodfellas, Killers of the Flower Moon, Zodiac, 8 Men Out, and many more. I'm Chris Wimmer. Join me as we crisscross the country from the Miami drug wars and Dixie Mafia in the South, to mobsters in Chicago and New York, to arsonists, kidnappers, and killers in California, to unsolved mysteries in the heartland and in remote corners of Alaska. Every episode features narrative writing and cinematic music, and there are hundreds of episodes available to binge. Find Infamous America wherever you get your podcasts.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet. As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.